And good morning. I too want to welcome all this morning. It is great to be with you in worship. And I too want to thank you for choosing Green Forest United Methodist Church as your place of worship on this day. You know, as Missy said, last week we announced a transition of our focus during the 50 days between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday. And our goal is to re-examine our calling as people of God. So if you've just joined us, let me remind you that when we talk about our calling as people of God, it is a re-examination process that is twofold. First, it's an offer for each of us to examine whether or not we are living God's call on our lives individually as a child of God, but also if we're living God's call corporately as Christ's church. Now, for me, there are parallels within the life of the disciples and our time today that we should not ignore. For example, the apostles during the 50 days between Easter and Pentecost, they had a major transition in their life and ministry after Jesus' crucifixion. And the church's transition, and when I say church, friends, I'm talking about the capital C church, the church, Christendom as a whole. Its life and ministry in a post-COVID world has transitioned in ways that the parallels and the similarities are something I believe that we should not ignore and from which great life lessons, I believe, can be learned. You see, both periods represent cultural shifts that impacted people physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And across those generational spans, ideas, concepts, and people considered things to be the norm in a very diverse way. I can only imagine that the polarization experienced in the days of the apostles are much like some of our experiences today, where every side is seemingly demanding our allegiance to their ideas or their platforms. Political anarchy in the day of the apostles continue to feed the separation or the void between the haves and the have-nots, kind of like we see in our current context. And for the 50 days and the original Eastertide season between Easter and Pentecost for the apostles, that was a time that they were in a state of discernment. You know, after Christ's crucifixion, if you've ever read through the scriptures, you know that they returned to a life that they knew. They went back to fishing. Yet Christ would continuously appear to them over and over to reassure them of his calling on their lives and invite them into the center of his will. And recognizing that truth, that is why I think it is paramount for the church to once again re-embrace this same state of discernment over our calling. For I truly believe that the future of the faith communities where you and I live, for them to become fruitful entities for the kingdom of God, rests upon our willingness to take this time to reevaluate our calling seriously. Now, if you just joined us this morning, then I want to recap what we talked about last Sunday. And if you were with us last Sunday, then I just ask for you to have a spirit of charity and cooperation as I glean back over the highlights of last week's sermon. Last week, we began our reevaluation by re-embracing our identity in Christ. And we did so by looking at Peter's teachings. For I believe that it is a biblical way of re-embracing our identity in Christ. You see, Peter did this in his first epistle by reminding everyone for them to go back to the beginning of their journey with Christ, to go back to the day that they were saved and remember where they come from as well as why they were saved. I believe every person who is brought to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ is done so with a purpose. That purpose is for us to be the priesthood of Jesus. It's not especially relevant that you are a new Christian or a seasoned veteran of the faith, because all of us are chosen by God, called into a relationship so that our new identity details to the world that we are God's special possession. But for this identity to reestablish with prominence in our lives, we must be willing to divest ourselves of our self-made identities that tends to be wrapped up in our job titles, our marital status, any and all things that seek to define us as something other than God's possession with a kingdom purpose. Now, today I want to continue our discernment process by looking at how our calling is innate. Now, to make sure that everyone is properly understanding the application of the word that I'm trying to accurately pronounce, let me share with you its definition. The word innate means inborn and or natural. And there's a passage in the book of Psalms that leads me to believe that humanity is innately equipped with the calling of God in our lives. We're just going to look at a few passages this morning from Psalm 139. And I want to ask that you join with me as we read from verse 13 through verse 16. Verse 13 begins saying, "You are the one who created my innermost parts. You knit me together while I was still in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you that I was marvelously set apart. Your works are wonderful. I know that very well. My bones weren't hidden from you when I was being put together in a secret place, when I was being woven together in the deep parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my embryo, and on your scroll, every day was written that was being formed for me before any of them had yet happened." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please join me in a short prayer? Lord God, we come this morning truly seeking a revelation from you about our calling, your calling on our lives. About if we are still living that calling, if there is something in our life that has shifted to cause us to accidentally miss the mark of living in the center of your will. So we ask this morning, Lord, that your word will speak to us. Your Holy Spirit will speak to each of us through your word, reminding us that what we're talking about is not something scary or something that has to be learned, but it's something that is innately within us, because that's just how good and gracious of a God that you are. Lord, you've been faithful to answer every prayer we've ever prayed in the past, and I thank you now for answering this prayer. For we pray it in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, if you have been going to church most of your life, you know that usually this passage of Scripture is linked to messages about the sanctity of life. And while I wholeheartedly agree it is appropriate for that topic, I also become concerned when we link a passage to only one application, therefore robbing us of a greater understanding of the work of God in our lives. Now, I know that some will wrestle this morning with my attempts to argue that God's calling is innate, for there are churches that teach in their theology that all individuals are completely cut off from God until they have a conversion experience and or say the sinner's prayer, if you will. But if we're able to have innate behaviors, or maybe I should say natural inborn behaviors, such as the five senses that enabled us to identify and discern material things, innate behaviors that are help set up our needs and our appetites, as well as innate behaviors that enable us with emotions that are needed for giving and receiving love. If we're able to have natural born behaviors that help us to do things logically, to make choices, and to know the knowledge of right and wrong, then why would we doubt that God's imprint on our lives would be short of his calling? Our verses definitely state that there is a bond between every soul and God. For every child that is birthed is a soul that has spent time in the presence of God. And the writer of our psalm marvels at just how intentional the hand of God is in forming us. It's kind of like we have a lady at our church named Crystal who loves to crochet. She takes one thread of yarn and masters it into a product that is bigger but created from one strand of yarn. Likewise, that is how God does in our life. He takes that one strand. It's part of the tapestry that he uses to continue to blossom us into the identity and the calling and the person that he wants us to be. If I could sum up those verses from 139 with three simple sentences, this is what I would say. Because of God, all of us have built-in tendencies to do right, moral, good things. Number one. Number two, we are all naturally drawn to God. And number three, we all have the call to love within us. Now, I do not believe any of us would disagree that the knowledge of God that is written upon our hearts is evidenced by one's conscience. We all would agree that our conscience is evidence that the laws of God are written upon our heart as recorded in Paul's writings. But we also know that every one of us has a skewed conscience because of the condition of sin. Yet we possess an innate knowledge of God that guides our moral compass. So understanding that, then I believe we would be short-sighted to say that the calling of God is only a learned reality that many are still trying to figure out. Instead, I would offer that all of us have an innate calling, not because of something we've done, but because of the graciousness of our Creator. And the issue of people not knowing God's call rests on their shoulders, but it does not mean that it is not there. If you're listening and can still say to yourself that you have no idea what God's call is on your life, then perhaps you are suffering from quieting that small, still voice created within you. And I extend this invitation to you this morning to continue to spend time and discernment, divesting yourself of the layers of denial, suppression, and disbelief that are quietening that voice, quietening that innate calling that is already in you. For the God who is inescapable within our world has always been present within you. His desires live within you. His passions live within you. His calling was specifically placed within your psyche, just as his law is an integral part of every person. And this mysterious nature of God's calling is not something that we have to figure out, as much as it is about our acceptance that God has innately equipped each of us with the ability to know him, to live for him, and to transform his world through his calling on our lives. You know, friends, for those of you who don't know me, I'm a small-time rancher. And any type of rancher or farmer who makes a living by livestock, we all know that to keep your cattle, your horses, your sheep, whatever it is you're farming, from wandering off, you have to build a fence, right? That's how we do it here. We build fences. But you know, they don't do it that way in Australia. No, in Australia, ranches are called stations, and they are so vast that the fences are superfluous. In fact, under those conditions, farmers don't put up fences. Rather, what they do is bore and create a well where precious water is available in the outback. And it is assumed by those farmers or those ranchers that livestock, though they will stray, will never roam too far from the well, least they die. And as long as there is a supply of clean water, the livestock will remain close by. Now, I share that story for this. God's innate calling is not to fence us in, but to offer us the essentials for experiencing the fullness of life. Listen, if you know a Christian who seems miserable, I would venture to say it's because that individual has walked away from his or her God-given purpose, or they are willfully staying blinded to his calling. For nothing in this world will ever quench that knowing from within or fill that hole within our soul until we fully embrace the innate calling of God on our lives. So let me close with this gentle reminder for all of us. God cannot hold you and I accountable for our actions if he has not given us clear, definitive direction. The innate calling of God is our invitation to live out our calling instinctively and in the manner God has created for each of us. So I hope this morning you have a greater understanding that no matter what your situation is, no matter what your struggles you are going through, there is a calling within you that was given to you by God before you were ever born. It is innately there, not because God needs you to do something for him, but because God loved you enough that he wanted you to witness to the world that you are his prized possession. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.